We've all had fierce and formidable women in our lives who have shaped who we are now. The Tech and Learning's Honor Roll podcast is dedicated to celebrating women who have shaped the education landscape more than you can possibly imagine. Who better to host this conversation than Drs. Keisha Ray and Frances Gibson, two fierce and formidable women who have been driving innovation in the field of the education world for more than 30 years. Please welcome our hosts, Drs. Keisha Ray and Frances Gibson.
Welcome to Tech and Learning's Honor Roll, a podcast that celebrates fierce and formidable women in education. I'm Keisha Ray.
And I'm Frances Gibson. We're elated to have you joining us today. We're going to be throwing you a little bit of a curveball. You remember that double your pleasure, double your fun, double mint gum, Keisha? Not that I'm aging us at all, but making sure that we're clear about all the wisdom we're bringing to this podcast. And to double our experience, we have two extraordinary women joining us today, Fran Newberg and Mel Harris from the Philadelphia School District. Deputy Chief Fran Newberg began her career teaching in the school district of Philly, where her guiding principles about education came together in the classroom. And throughout her career, Dr. Newberg has steadily maintained that all of our efforts as educators should be focused at all times on improving the lives and futures of students in Philadelphia. This principle has informed her actions, whether in the classroom teaching children or managing complex projects impacting thousands of district employees or every teacher child in the district. Dr. Newberg gained extensive experience working as a lead teacher, assistant principal, and assuming a central office leadership role. She's been in the Office of Educational Technology as executive director and in her current role as deputy chief. As deputy chief, she has led and managed some of the most complex district-wide initiatives to enhance instruction and a streamlined process for the district. Dr. Newberg recognizes that teaching effectively with technology does not occur just because devices are distributed to the classroom. We know that all too well, right, Dr. Ray? And so to meet the needs for professional development that maximizes the investment in classroom technology, she implemented a research-based, job-embedded professional development model that provides focused coaching, training, and support to over 2,000 classrooms. And so with this in mind, she's kept her student-centered educational philosophy, and she is open to embracing new challenges, new ideas, and new approaches to help her district, and most importantly, the children of Philadelphia. Keisha, why don't you share a little bit more about Mel Harris?
All right, I surely shall. Mel joined the School District of Philadelphia in 1999, and she served as the Chief Information Officer since 2007. And in this role, she leads the team responsible for all aspects of technology delivery and support for schools and administrative offices. During the pandemic, Ms. Harris led the team rising to the challenge to ensure public school families were prepared for the quick pivot to online learning. Critical initiatives during this period included securing, purchasing, and distributing over 100,000 Chromebooks to students and families, as well as working with the City of Philadelphia to lift the PHL Connect Ed program. In addition to investments in instructional-focused technology, Ms. Harris has led many of the most complex district-wide initiatives to integrate technology infrastructure and tools to expand, streamline district processes. Prior to her position as Chief Information Officer, Ms. Harris served as the Executive Director of Information Systems and the Director of Systems and Applications. In these roles, she was responsible for the development and implementation of online technology strategy, as well as building a more customer service-oriented approach to support schools. Ms. Harris has always upheld the mission to provide students and teachers with the technology and tools that are essential for learning and achievement in the 21st century classroom. And equally important, providing school administrators and teachers with the data and reporting tools necessary for critical decision-making and governance. I am so excited to have each of you here together. You know, I've known you guys a long time. Mel and I were trying to figure out how long, and then we decided we wouldn't go there. But this is an honor roll first, and I can't think of two more amazing women to have on the honor roll as a first, highlighting two outstanding sheroes in the same podcast. So each week we explore models of leadership together from what our guests see in the mirror. In other words, your reflections of self, mentors who've impacted you along the way. And then considering those mirrors and mentors, we move to kind of movements and maverick moments. It's what we affectionately call our pattern of M.
And Keisha, don't forget that we also want to catch, you know, that edgy babble we use, you know, to make sure our listening community really understands what we're talking about. We use so many acronyms and phrases, and we even invent new stuff in education each and every day. So while I was introducing Fran and Mel, I caught something, this PHL Connect Ed program that they launched during the pandemic. So I'm wondering, Fran and Mel, can you tell us a little bit more about that? And welcome to the podcast.
Well, thank you so much, Keisha and Francis. This is Melanie Harris, and I can't be more thrilled to be here with my partner in crime, Fran Newberg. And thank you for pointing that out. That was something that I realized, like my first day in education, I'm like, what are all these acronyms? Should I know these things? And you're right, we do love to invent them. But this is pretty amazing. So PHL Connect Ed is a program that was started in joint partnership with the City of Philadelphia and the Philadelphia School District, and funded by generous constituents all over Philadelphia to provide free internet to any family with children in school. So that's not just public education, parochial, charter, and it allows any family to reach out to 211 call, and then we help them get either Comcast set up in the house or they get a T-Mobile hotspot. And we're in our second year, and we are absolutely expanding it to at least a third year. So free internet to our families. This came up during the pandemic, but obviously we know the importance of access to internet in our homes.
Wow. Thanks so much, Mel, for taking that incredible lift on for the kids in Philly, and especially because you've done it for all kids in Philly. And that's something we've definitely learned through the pandemic, is all means all. And I know a lot of districts have been under the same kind of stress, and seeing the success that you guys have had in Philly has to be inspiring to so many others. So I'm super excited that you guys were able to share it, and can't wait to hear through our little Twitter chat that we usually encourage our listeners to have, what they think of that initiative. And you might be hearing from some of our listeners too, to get some ideas on how they can do it in their cities. Okay, now let's start with the first M models. And Fran, I'm gonna start with you, my friend. Are you ready? Who are your role models and why?
Seal Cannon, when I very first came to central office, was the head of curriculum and instruction. And she had such devotion for students learning and researching and figuring out what works, why it works. And she had such a fierce focus on implementation. And that always, always stayed with me as I've continued throughout these years. And my mother has been a very strong role model for me, because she was an entrepreneur in like the late 40s and 50s, running her own business. She was a leader. She managed pretty big teams and was a presence in the city of Philadelphia, along with my father. They were truly partners, and she really led aspects of her business. And they both, my mother especially, has been a great role model for
me. To my namesake, Fran, we have a shared connectivity. Yes. I love this fierce devotion that you speak of with your role models. And of course, the importance of being present, right? And I'm sure that will come up again as we think about your self-care strategies.
And I would be remiss not to give a shout out to my mother, who is my ultimate role model. My mother raised me as a single mother in the 70s, when that was just kind of unheard of. She was a businesswoman. She had a team full of women that worked for her in a secretarial pool. I would come in to the office right off of Washington Square and just be so impressed. I watched my mother be an amazing confidant to her friends. And again, fierce and kindness is a very interesting, maybe it's a Scorpio trait. We're both Scorpios. And so I just can't shout out enough to my mother. And she's also there for me today. She takes care of the kids and allows me to be the working woman that I want to be, you know. So thank you to my mom, and thank you to all you amazing ladies.
Oh, so good that each of you have incredible moms as role models. And what a surprise, right, that two great moms yield to fabulous leaders and ladies.
You know, we have mentors also that come in so many forms. In fact, you mentor one another, Mel and Fran, together. And so I'm wondering, Mel, who have been some of your mentors that have guided you in your fierce leadership story?
Sure. So I think about my early days when I was still in the private sector, and there was this woman, Diane Hoffman Siepel. She was a powerhouse, fierce in the business community, you know, in our transportation world. And I was just so lucky. She took me under her wing. She taught me, you know, how to not apologize so much, and to it was a very male dominated industry, and just really how to have presence, how to stand up for yourself, how to know that the decision you were making was correct. And then I have to say now, my school district days, one of my peers, Karen Lynch, she's been here at the Philadelphia School District for a decade. And I can remember day one, she's like, you need to speak up in meetings. And then day two, you talk too much. Don't talk as much, you know. But you know, all jokes aside, like, she has just been a fantastic mentor to me, to how to make sure that the path and what the suggestions are being heard through all the noise that you hear in public education.
I think having exceptional role models and mentors is something that you recognize when you kind of look backwards, you know, like as you're kind of being mentored or having role models present in your life, you might not notice it. Fran, you probably didn't think of your mom as a role model, you know, all the way. But now looking back, you're like, man, she really had a big influence. So I wonder, being reflective, when did, and this is for each of you, when did you look in the mirror and see a leader in the reflection?
So Fran, I'll jump in if you're okay with that. And I will say that was a very interesting question, because I knew I was ready to become the CIO. I was mentored under another female CIO, Patricia Renzulli, who was amazing, first female CIO in the Philadelphia School District. And she saw in me what I didn't see in myself and knew that I was ready and got me to the point where I felt I was ready. But I don't know if I would have looked in the mirror right then and had that honest conversation with myself. And really not until the pandemic, and Fran and I have talked about this a lot, when day after day, challenge after challenge was put in front of us with really high stakes, children's education, learning, making sure that they were fed, we knew how to find them. That's when I think I was able to look in the mirror and say, I can do anything. There is nothing that I cannot do.
That is quite true. The pandemic for us was such a moment where I knew I was a leader and I knew that I was having a great impact. And I will say that with all of my moments in leadership, there's always a tiny bit of fear, right? And I think some people think that that kind of little bit of fear, that edge goes away. And I think it never goes away. I remember that was a very interesting question. I have to say I had a hard time answering it. But then when I really thought about it, when I first became an assistant principal in what was at the time the largest elementary school in Philadelphia. So at the time, an elementary school with 1,200 students was really huge. And I can recall back at that time a moment where I realized that I was leading the teachers in that school. I loved interacting with the students and the parents in that school. And I was able to have these direct, difficult conversations because I knew that they needed to happen. That was the first moment then I really felt like a leader.
So both of you have found your own self-efficacy, your belief in knowing that you make a difference, whether it's been through decision-making or finding voice with a both and versus an either or way of thinking about how you want to lead, and especially how you want to lead as a woman. You know, you're sharing your voice here today, and that voice has also been part of the collective efficacy that you're sharing as an organization or as partners here on this podcast with one another. And as powerful women, I think we even heard the word fierce earlier come out of your mouth, which is incredible. We want to always think about, like, how are women changing the world, yourselves included, of course. And recently on the news, there was a local leader who was sharing that in every single one of her field offices, She had these powerful women in her office, and she also had powerful images of iconic women. And so as I think about the Shiros, Keisha, that we've had on this podcast, we're going to have to put all of their images around our environments, because these stories are incredible. And so I'm curious, how are you both finding ways that women are changing the world?
I'll say just watching some of our newer politicians at the federal level, and Ilhan Omar, who's the U.S. representative of Minnesota, Tammy Duckworth, who's the senator in Illinois, like, they're my superheroes, I have to be honest. I mean, they all are, that they are out there fighting for values that affect women and that affect everyone. But sometimes you have to, you know, call out the idea that, you know, LGBTQ rights and public education and reimagining justice from a woman's point of view and from women of color is just, it's so powerful. So, so powerful.
I love the moment when a woman became the vice president. So watching Kamala Harris, knowing that she's breaking so many barriers, opening the door to who holds the keys to power in America, I think is monumental. And I think for our children, for young women watching this, they see that the sky is the limit. I also happen to love Mika Brzezinski. I love all of her books. I love her whole Know Your Value community and the whole message of equal pay, equal work. It seems like an old message, but it's a message that we have to remember and honor.
Really, really underscoring knowing your values, right, and testing them, and then being willing to fight for them. You know, one of my favorite cognitive coaches always says that we are warriors when we are involved in this work for education. We fight for children each and every day and the voices that are not heard. And that takes a toll on us also, right? Being these warrior women. And I'm curious, how do you take care of yourselves? Like, how do you keep replenishing that sense of efficacy and that voice and that fierceness that you have? What are your self-care strategies?
Fran and I talk all the time. If we could bottle it, if we really like had the super sauce and bottle it, right, we'd make $1 million. So I think it's, you know, my new favorite phrase to say is, remember to put your own mask on, you know, if you want to save somebody else next to you. And the idea that we have to replenish our own bucket, not just for ourselves, because some people still think that feels selfish to take care of themselves, but you can't be your full self to somebody else. So you have to make sure, you have to make time to get your sleep, to be eating right, to get outside and walk at lunch, and go get a facial and go get a massage and treat yourself to these things. I'm a big believer in that. And I would also say, make sure you find time for the things you love to do, whatever that is, whether it's running, whether it's painting. I recently became very interested in woodwork, because when you find something that brings you joy, that joy will start to influence all aspects of your life and you will feel like your true self. That then others benefit from that.
I feel it's so important to take time every day for yourself. And I think as women, especially women when they have little children, I feel like I was not as good at this then. But even if it's 30 minutes, just 30 minutes to walk outside, meditate, yoga, go to a class. And I think it's important to understand that going out with friends, going to shows, and finding friends at work and finding friends at home that enjoy going to nice restaurants, that enjoy going on a walk outside, really is very nurturing. And to find a few friends at work, like Mel and I really do this for each other. And I really believe that the women that work with us see that women are good advocates for each other. We support men and women. We support everyone. But for women to see that women can work together very closely and really support each other. So I think it's at home and at work, finding those people that enjoy the same things you do. Help you to have that balance in your life. You have to be able to disconnect and to come fresh again every day to the work. Mm-hmm.
You know, something that I could never do when I worked in district or even at the university level was do that. I was like always on. And now that I work from home, it's like I'm always off. it's just weird what my mindset has done just being in a different environment, like a non-structured, if you will, environment. And Fran, when you were talking about kind of women changing the world, you said the girls of today are seeing powerful role models. And I wondered for a split second, wouldn't it be amazing to see a day, one day, hopefully in our nearer future than further, where women, you know, when Ella, my daughter, becomes a woman, she doesn't even have to consider it as struggle. It's not even like, oh, I'm a girl, that puts me at a disadvantage. It doesn't even pop into her mind. I hope and pray that will be her situation. I'm not 100% sure, but I just feel so encouraged by just our conversation today and the work that you guys are doing and kind of breaking ground and the work, quite frankly, that Frances and I are doing in lifting women like you up so that we can kind of, I don't know, create a bigger movement than what we've already got around equity for women. Especially women in education, you'd think it would be equitable. It's not. So sad. Okay, now we have some sentence starters. This is a little kind of, I'm going to start the sentence and you're going to finish the sentence. And then if you want to expand on it, feel free to do so. And we're going to take turns. So I'm going to ask Fran questions and Frances is going to ask Mel questions. Like we're teams. And Fran and I are going to win. Just kidding. So
I hear Fran winning regardless because there's two Frans here.
It's true.
We're all winners.
Either way, Fran's winning. I love it. Okay, here we go. Fran, an event that changed my worldview.
When I saw George Floyd murdered on national television, my worldview has been changed forever.
Yeah, absolutely.
And also the subsequent work we've been doing here in the School District of Philadelphia has had a very great impact on me. I've always considered myself to be anti-racist. I never considered myself a racist. But really understanding and seeing all the systems that have created like this structural racism in our country. But that was the moment that changed my worldview and will be changed forever.
Hopefully for more people than just you, Fran.
Completely shifted the way I see the world, the way I see America, and the way I see myself and what I believed about myself pre that moment of June of 2020.
I think what we're hearing is that it shifted your thinking from, you know, maybe this social justice lens to really being a social transformer. How do you see an even bigger context around what so many refer to as that Jedi mindset, you know, justice, equity, diversity, and inclusion? And making sure that ripples through your system and really in ways where you could address the systemic issues that we've seen. And you can do it today, not wait till tomorrow. So thank you for that.
Right now. Yes.
You know, I have one of those sentence starters too, Keisha, as you mentioned. And so Mel, here's yours. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
All right. Always ready. Mel is always ready. She's got her superhero cape. So, Mel, answer this one. I became a stronger person after.
I became a stronger person after I went through a tumultuous leadership challenge with a female boss, quite frankly. And that really showed me how I had to advocate for myself, how people help advocate for me, and up and realizing that it's okay to be emotional. I'm not saying women shouldn't be emotional, but that you have to have your inner strength and decide who you are going to be as a leader. And if you want to stay in your role and make an impact, then you need to buck up and show it.
Girl, I'm emotional almost every podcast. So it'll be interesting to see if I do shed some tears during this one. I'm sure I will. And I have another one for Fran. You ready? My life improved when I...
Oh, my life improved when I married my husband, had children. It was a moment quite... Honestly, I didn't see that in my future, to be honest, because I did that much later in life. And I was quite happy, by the way. very happy. But it improved, very much so.
This is where I'll pause and let Keisha have her waterworks moment then, because whenever you talk about family or children or the love of your life, I know this is coming. Is it coming, Keisha?
It's true, because
it might be a bonus point.
I know. It's just so cool because so many of us, like Fran and I, we've talked about this before, I think maybe at a conference, possibly at a bar somewhere, but that we put our careers first. We put our, because you have to sometimes, right? I mean, if you're single, you, in order to afford life as a single woman in education, having an education career, you really have to bucket, you got to, you know, hit it 2 feet on the ground, because you're not going to make enough money unless you are all in on your career at the very, very beginning, which is a sad statement for those of us in, you know, education for this many years. But so you see all your friends getting married and you're like, oh, you know, this will never happen to me. I married late too and had a kid even later than probably Sarah. But I was, you know, I didn't give up and Fran didn't either. And it's life changing and it's just so beautiful.
Yeah. Now, Fran didn't tell you the story that he came to her community. He hooked her by she was looking for him to contribute to her community garden and get a sponsor for it. So he came in at her from her, he pulled on the heartstrings of supporting one of her student projects. So
nice. Does he still support your projects?
Yeah. Yes. I was working and I went to this weekend event. It was a neighborhood community garden and he was one of the neighbors. And I met him and I asked him what his connection was to the garden, and he asked me why I was there. I said, well, I have a student garden a block away. Maybe you could get my garden a grant too.
I'll grant you something. So, I'll grant you a lifetime of happiness.
Growing love for students and for yourself on day one. It doesn't get better than that. But it might get better than that when Mel answers this next question. Are you ready, Mel?
A
decision that changed your life forever.
Leaving the private sector and coming to work for the School District of Philadelphia. And that may not seem like a decision that changes your life forever, but one, it was a big leap for me. I was coming in as a director. I definitely did not have the self-confidence that I thought as a woman that I came in and that I could do this role. I don't even know how I was convinced to even take this job. So I look back every day and think, what if I didn't take that leap of faith? What if I didn't? What if I said, I'm comfortable here. I'll work my way up. Oh, no, don't get promoted too soon because I don't deserve it. Life would be very, very different. So that it definitely changed my life coming here to the school district. And now, honestly, I can't imagine going back to selling quote unquote widgets, you know, like a conversation that doesn't revolve around the life of children and how to make them better through education. I can't imagine not having those conversations every day and that impact.
Well, Mel, I'm with you. You have joined Team Kid, where you put students at the center of everything that you do. And I think you are with like-minded friends, colleagues, and champions who feel exactly the same way. So thank you for choosing students and community. You know, Fran, I can't help but keep thinking about that garden. And even yesterday, a shout out to one of our listeners, Jackie Carrillo, one of the moms in the community where I had the pleasure of serving, sent me a picture of our edible garden and the orchard and just how it's flourishing. And I look at that and it just brings such tears of joy, because I know that kiddos and community came together. And it continues to nourish the heart and soul and even those tummies. So love the connections across your stories. And, you know, I also love to make lots of connections with my dear friend Keisha. And I know you've made connections over the years and in many ways. And just like any good educator, I have to always check for understanding and see, you know, how adults are reflecting on their learning. So I know I've learned a lot, Keisha, and I think Fran and Mel are going to be in my next walking experience, re-listening to their journey. And I'm curious, what have you learned from this journey today that has augmented what you already know about the amazing Mel and Fran?
First of all, I know that teamwork makes the dream work when it's Fran and Mel. And they are an iconic pair of ladies that have just trailblazed through our field, especially of, you know, women in IT and ed tech. They were the first to kind of combine the IT and the education side that really broke barriers for a lot of school districts. They were like, oh, well, if they can do it in Philly, we probably could do that here, and help really reconstruct people's thinking on how the academic side should work with the IT side. Because up until they did it, nobody even thought about that. So I think that's, you know, some, like a little known piece of information that I just want to lift up. I also love the work that they have done in Philly during the pandemic, because lifting Philly on a good day is no small feat, but getting the people and people that aren't familiar with Philly, you know, this may not resonate, but the politics and the, as Fran kind of alluded to, the tensions there are extreme. And the district is the pull together. A good friend of mine, Cheryl Logan, used to work with these ladies too. And she talks about that a lot, about how, you know, there's just so many facets that you know, when you peel back the onion of Philly, there's just even more there. So to be able during a pandemic to attend to the projects and programs that you've attended to and implement them, and hopefully be able to maintain them far past this and set an example for other large districts and small, medium, but definitely large, that think, oh God, there's no way we could do it. The scale is just enormous. No, it's possible. And the things that you guys have done, I know, are shared with, you know, New York and LA and Miami. We all kind of have talked, you know, over the times of the pandemic, but I think it's just extraordinary. I think what you've been able to pull off has been extraordinary. And I think it will be talked about for many, many years to come. And I thank you for your leadership in this space today and always.
That is so kind of you, Keisha.
Yes. Thank you, Keisha and Frances.
Yeah. Well, hey, Mel and Fran, do you guys have anything to say to our listeners that you haven't already kind of mentioned or shared with them? Any words of wisdom?
I would just share, this makes me think of, you know, as we talk about putting career first often, and then maybe putting off, you know, a family or life. And I too did not marry until my late 30s and wanted to have children later. And I distinctly remember a conversation where I was 39 going on 40, and I was debating putting off my second child because I was waiting for the district to decide if we were going to put our ERP in place. By the way, we've been waiting since 1999. And this is like a conversation we're having in 2010. And I said, well, I'll just wait. And Fran looked at me like I had three heads. And she's like, you're going to go ahead and you're going to have a baby and it's all going to work out. And I did. And my little Jack would not be here probably if Fran had not said that. So the idea of work-life balance, I choose not to use the word balance because it assumes everything is 50-50. And that's just not how life rolls. But, you know, you have to ebb and flow with it and you have to live. And I go back to saying, do things you love, because then you will have that joy in your life and it will affect other parts. And, you know, hey, we're just getting to that. We're just finishing up that ERP now. So, you know, Jack was six before we started it. So I just want to share that with women. Like, don't put off your life to waiting for work to move along.
Excellent. Fran, what kinds of words of wisdom might you share, my friend?
Mine is similar for women, for men, for anyone. We all have this timetable in our head where everything is supposed to happen at this time. And then we somehow get upset because this didn't happen at this time and that didn't happen at that time. And I think the four of us know that that timetable is nonsense. And the journey, truly, the journey is where it's at. Not you know, the saying that enjoy the journey, not the destination. I would say that is so absolutely true. Enjoy every day. Love yourself for who you are, wherever you are. And if you have goals, you will attain them. But what people do to themselves with this arbitrary timeline in their mind. It's an enjoy every day and definitely strive, but make sure you're enjoying the journey.
So true. So true. Enjoy that journey. And really the time horizons are the horizons that we put on ourselves sometimes too, right? So do we need new language, new actions? I'm wondering what Jack would say listening to this conversation. I'm sure he'd be so proud of his mom and also of you, Fran, for the inspiration that you lend one another each and every day and your supports. You know, Keisha, as we think about the community that we've brought together, we're constantly engaged in some type of reflection, whether it's helping ourselves look in the mirror, going for that walk and finding that self-care space. And we always end our podcast with a really important coaching question. So in honor of Fran and Mel, Mel and Fran, today's coaching question is the following. How might you partnership in ways that amplify opportunities for women, community, and systems? Again, how might you partner in ways that amplify opportunities for women, community, and systems?
Oh my goodness, that's a really good one, Frances. She's loaded with them too, by the way, ladies. And we can't thank you enough for joining us today. I know it put a pinch in your schedule, and I'm super, super glad that you were willing to do that for us. It's hard for us to get K-12 leaders on because, you know, and both of us have been there, so we know, but you're always putting out fires. So we're so happy that there was no fire right now. There may have been, but you've got the door shut, so you don't know. But we're so happy that you were able to be here and share your story and your wisdom and just, you know, let everybody hear how dynamic it can be when you find someone to work with that is a counterbalance to you and that can really like make you a better leader. And I think you two exemplify that for all of us. And I wish everybody could find some partner as wonderful as each of you have found. So I just thank you so much.
Well, I thank you, my partner, Keisha, as these partners thank one another and honor one another as sheroes on the Honor Roll podcast. And we want you to know that these messages will stay with our listeners and continue to grow exponentially through your inspired wisdom and your leadership that you've shared with us today.
Absolutely. So let me tell our listeners to please join us for our next podcast, where we're going to highlight another shero in education, maybe two, you never know. With us.
Maybe three.
Explore their M's. And please don't forget to follow our hashtag TL Honor Roll. That's ROLE. And be sure to respond to the coaching question that Frances asked and give us some feedback too on what you've learned from Fran and Mel. And until then,
be fierce
and be formidable.
The Tech and Learning's Honor Roll podcast is produced by Keisha Ray, Frances Gibson, and Christine Weiser. Audio production by Mitchell Tulin and AV Nation. Tech and Learning's Honor Roll theme music is by Madison Van Gundy. Find more episodes on techlearning.com and follow us at hashtag TL Honor Roll. That's TL Honor, ROLE.